following message is a presentation of Valley Metro Church, a community of believers dedicated to knowing God and making Him known.
We've been doing this series on the kingdom of God, and I don't know if you guys are loving it as much as I am, but there is so much wealth in this topic of the kingdom of God. In fact, Jesus spent more time talking about the kingdom of God than anything else, and I'm surprised how many, even adults sometimes, don't properly understand what the kingdom is because Jesus spent so much time talking about the kingdom of God. You know, the kingdom of God is not just heaven when you get there. The kingdom of God is like this. It became available when Jesus rose from the grave. When he died and paid for the price of the sins of the world and rose from the grave, the kingdom had a wide open on-ramp, open for anyone to get in on, and it's been wide open, this on-ramp, for 2,000 years. But here's the deal to get into it. You have to know that the kingdom of God is the reign of God, the reign of God. And although it exists, whether we get in it or not, it only exists in our lives when we step under the reign of God. And when you and I step into the reign of God, you and I step into the kingdom of God. And when we do that, we are saying that we're choosing to live under God's power and influence. We recognize it and we want to be in on it. And so there's such a radical dimension of life right here in this place in God's kingdom. And we're going to be talking about that today, specifically advancing the kingdom and how the kingdom actually moves forward and advances. But we realized in the parables, when we talked about some of the parables in the last few weeks, the kingdom of God is like a treasure where if you finally recognize what it is and you recognize the value of it, you do all you can to get all in. The kingdom is valuable. The kingdom moves us from being a spectator to a participator. Because once you realize the magnitude of this kingdom, you want to get in. And we've said that if you love God, you should love His kingdom. Because it's His kingdom, it's His reign. It would be like saying, God, I love you, but I don't like you being the king over everybody. If we love you, God, we want you to reign. We want your power and influence, not just in our lives, in everyone's lives. We know the prayer, and we say it oftentimes, on earth as it is in heaven, right? On earth as it is in heaven. Our Father who art in heaven, holy is your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Let's look at that for a second. On earth. When we look at in heaven and on earth, and we want it to be on earth as it is in heaven. In heaven, Jesus is fully recognized, and he's fully glorified. What about on earth? Is he fully recognized, and is he fully glorified on earth? No, only by some. Only by some. But in heaven, he is fully, in fact, the Bible gives us snapshots of heaven and what it looks like. Believe me, Jesus is fully recognized and fully glorified, but on earth, only to some. So when you and I are praying on earth as it is in heaven, we're saying that kind of reign and realm and dimension and glory that you have here, we want to pull it down here, God. We want that realm and dimension of your magnitude, your glory, your love, your radiance, all that. We want to pull it right down on earth because look around or watch the 10 o'clock news. We need it on earth as much as it is in heaven. Amen? We need God's reign down here. We need his kingdom to come on earth as it is in heaven. But how will the kingdom come if you and I don't spread the love, share the love? I would suggest to you the kingdom doesn't move very much or advance very much unless you or I actually own the advancement of it. We would pray, just do it, God, just do it. But when you look at history, and you look at the history of the church for 2,000 years, it's always been God partnering with his sons and daughters for the advancement of the kingdom. And it gets really, really, really good. A lot of people don't know because no one ever told them or no one ever showed them. And the kingdom is something you can tell people about, but it's also you can show them the kingdom. You can model the ways of Jesus. You can walk in a spiritual power that God gives you to pray over people and pray over things. And the world goes, where did that come from? It's God. It's his kingdom. When we come under his reign and his realm, his spiritual influence, this is the way we operate. Others get to see it. Others get to experience it. So whether you're sharing it in word or in deed, this is how the kingdom moves on. We got a few different scriptures. You can follow along in your Bible or you can look up here at the screen. But I really want to get into the depth and the magnitude of advancing the kingdom and the power of it and how blessed you will be if you partner with God in this realm of his kingdom. You know, when we started this whole series, we started with a thesis verse. Seek first God and his kingdom. Put him first, and all these other things are going to be given to you. Everything you can worry about, anything you have anxiety about, anything you're stressing about, plans, what about this? Oh, no, God. God's saying all those things, it's going to be fine. I got you covered. If you put me first in my kingdom, all these other things will be given to you. The kingdom has got to be first. God and his kingdom have to be first. We ask the question, are we a God first kind of person? Are we a God first? Are we our kingdom first or God's kingdom first? It's a valid question. You got to ask yourself that question. Am I a my kingdom first or a God's kingdom first? Am I a me first person or a God first person? Because if you put God and his kingdom first, all these other things will be added to you. And it gets really exciting. Here's Jesus in Luke chapter 4. And he is explaining the mission of the kingdom, the good news of the kingdom, or referred to as the gospel of the kingdom. When the gospel is shared in the Bible, sometimes it's referred to as the gospel, sometimes it's referred to as the gospel of the kingdom, the good news of God's kingdom, the good news that God's reign is available for you to step under. And when you do, you get God's protection and God's blessing, and there's a whole nother realm we enter into, or people can live outside of that, like an umbrella, outside of God's protective covering, outside of his blessing, outside of his will, outside of his love, and do it on their own. So the gospel of the kingdom is the good news, especially to the Jewish people that thought they had to do so many things to try to be right with God. 365 laws, they couldn't even keep up with them, and they're redefining even those laws. They could not keep track of all the rules of being right with God. And Jesus is like, God first, love God, love your neighbor. I'm the way, the truth, and life. Come this way. And this is how you get in to this realm. It's very simple. It's not complicated. But it's coming under God's reign and rule and love and power and authority, and it's a choice. And so Jesus, in Luke 4, breaks it down on what he came to do and what this kingdom looks like. And it says this, the Spirit of the Lord is on me because he has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners and recovery of sight for the blind, to set the oppressed free and to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. This is an amazing statement. Jesus is quoting out of Isaiah when he read this, and what he told his audience in the synagogue in Capernaum when he read this by the Sea of Galilee, he said, this passage is what Messiah came to do, and today it's been filled in your presence. I'm the guy, look no further. Messiah is here. And everyone's like, whoa, could it be? And then he evidenced that with signs and miracles and wonders. But let's look at what it says in this passage, because this is what the kingdom is about. Some people think the kingdom is about heaven. That's part of it. The kingdom is about forgiveness. Oh yes, that's very central. There's more. The kingdom is also life in the Holy Spirit and freedom and these dimensions of God's power and love on earth, and Jesus describes it right here. Do you know anyone who is poor in spirit, who spiritually they're not in a good place? Does anybody know anybody poor in spirit? They're not in a good place. Okay. Jesus is the answer to that. He's like, I came for the poor in spirit. If you know anyone, he's like, send them to me. I got the answer for them. I have the cure for them. I've got the solution. I've got their future right in my hands. You know anyone poor in spirit? He's like, have them come to me. How about the next one? It says it's talking about captivity and proclaim freedom for the prisoners. Do you know anyone who's stuck and needs freedom in an area of their life? An area of their life, they're just locked up. They are chained in some kind of way. It could be an addiction. It could be a mindset. It could be something, a philosophy. They are stuck, and you know they're stuck. You know the person, and you know they're stuck. And you can't get them free, and neither can anyone else. Jesus is like, it's okay. That's what I do. I came to set free the captives. I love them, and I am their solution. It's beautiful. And he talks about blindness. You know anybody who is blind to God's calling on their life? Here's the deal. Maybe you see God's calling on their life, but they don't see God's calling on their life. You know anybody like that? You see like an evidence like, oh, it's so obvious God's got a better way for you, and they don't see it. Like the great hymn, I once was blind, but now I see. Sometimes people just don't see until God wakes them up. And those folks need recovery of sight for the blind. And Jesus is like, I got the solution for them. Just send them my way. I love them. And I want to give them a whole new dimension and perspective. Just send them my way. And then he talks about to set the oppressed free. Know anybody dealing with oppression? You know anybody dealing with oppression, depression? Anybody in the room? You know anybody? Yeah. Jesus is like, I'm good at that. That's what I do. Send them to me. The meds aren't going to fix it. Sitting in the sun one day isn't going to fix it all. Those are all nice things. Send them to me. I came to set the oppressed free. It's what I do. It's what I've been doing for 2,000 years. It's what I do. It's what I do. You know anyone who's way overdue? It says to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. You know anybody that's way overdue for God's favor, his grace, his mercy? They're going through life, they're fighting through, and it's like, oh man, what you need is God's grace and favor and mercy. That's all you need. You just need God's favor and mercy on your life. And many of us in this room can look back to a year in time, a year in history, where we decided to step into the kingdom under God's reign and under his influence, and you can point to a year where you can say, yep, that was my year of God's favor. That was my year where he took away my sins. He put his spirit in me. That's the way the year he gave me sight. It's the year of the Lord's favor. You know anybody that needs the year of the Lord's favor? Jesus is like, I got that for him. I'm ready. Send him to me. Another one he says in Matthew 11:28, and I love this one. He says, come to me, all of you who are weary and are burdened, and I will give you rest. Listen, when you think of the kingdom of God, we don't always think of this. But this is central to the kingdom of God. Rest. That you don't have to spin out and burn out and stress out and live your life in some kind of frenzy. God's like, you don't have to live that way anymore. Some people go that way from the womb to the tomb. Their life is just a scramble. God's like, oh no. The spirit, the fruit of the Spirit is peace. And I'm the Prince of Peace, Jesus would say. And if you come to me, all of you who are weary and have a heavy load, he goes, I see you. I see you carrying that weight. I see your knees hitting each other, trying to, you don't have to do that anymore. Come to me. I will give you rest. These are all beautiful slices, snapshots of the kingdom of God. Forgiveness is central because we're all sinners that need a Savior, obviously. But all of these, he is saying, this is the gospel of the kingdom. He's explaining these slices and dimensions. I want to challenge your thinking this morning, because what we've often see when we think of evangelism or advancing the kingdom is to go to a crusade, and at a crusade, as great as these crusades are, and there's been many souls, decisions made for Christ, of coming to a crusade, having some music, hearing a gospel message, and people going, yep, you know what? I'm right. I want to go down there, and I feel pretty charged up right now, and I need to make this decision. But they also find that statistically, the percentage of people that come forward at a crusade and actually remain in the faith and grow is much, much smaller than the person you meet next door or in the cubicle next to you or the person at Trader Joe's. Or at the auto shop. Do you know why? Because there's a relationship and there's substance to this connection of the kingdom. And you know why else? It's not just surrounding, God so loved the world, he sent his only son, okay, I believe it, I'll follow, as central as that is to the kingdom of God. We can never remove that. It is central. Forgiveness is central to the kingdom of God. But when you look at the people that came to Jesus, they didn't all run to him and say, "Forgive me, I'm a sinner." Do you see that in the Gospels? Everyone ran to him. The crowds ran to him like a stampede. "Get out of the way, I'm a sinner." "No, get out of the way." They didn't do that. They didn't do that. They came and said, "Lord, I have this need. Can you help me? What is it you want? I'm crippled here. I want to move. Or Lord, can you do this? Or Lord, can you?" They came to Jesus with these needs. Even the woman who crawled on her knees through the dirt, getting to Jesus to touch the hem of his garment, she didn't say, "I need forgiveness. I'm only saying that, guys, because forgiveness is central. But listen, it's not the reason why everybody came. It's ultimately what you find out his mission and purpose was. And you have to make that decision whether you're going to get in on his provision of forgiveness. But people came to him sometimes for this right here. "Come to me if you're weary and have a heavy load. I'll give you rest." And when you come to Jesus and you realize he's the Prince of Peace, you're like, wow, there really is no other way. And he's like, "You're right, I'm the way, the truth, and the life." And then you begin to hear the magnitude of his message. He said, "I came to pay a price you can never pay for yourself." But the way they got to Jesus wasn't just from a broadcast message. Does that make sense? It wasn't from John 3:16 is going to be quoted over here. Everybody come and listen to Jesus say it. And everyone, you know, said it, and everyone said, "I'm a sinner, we're all a sinner." No, they came, some came for food. They came for teaching and food on a hillside. 5,000 people. That was really good. I was very blown away what he said, and I'm going home and I'm thinking about this stuff, and he fed us, and I really like Jesus, and I want to hear more. And they come back, and they start getting in. "Oh, who is Jesus? I mean, who is he? I want to know. Is he really God's son? Is he God in flesh? If so, that's very intriguing. And how can I know that? And then if he is, then these words are real, that he wants to bind up the brokenhearted and recovery of sight for the blind and deal with oppression and give rest for the soul and forgive me of my sins too, all of this stuff." Does that make sense? It's important to say, because this is the kingdom. If you and I are going to advance the kingdom, we better look at the kingdom for what it is. We better look at the gospel of the kingdom, the good news of the kingdom, for what it is. Look at what Jesus said he came to do. So if you're a note taker this morning, here's a few things, maybe you want, at least the first one. The gospel shows us that Jesus is everyone's answer. Jesus is He's not just some people's answer. He is everyone's answer. And that's really important. He came for binding up brokenhearted, dealing with oppression, the Lord's favor, poor in spirit, weary and heavy burden, to obviously central is the sin debt, to take it away and replace it with a righteousness that's imparted from God. That's like central to it. But he came for all these things. And when you look at the condition of humanity all over the planet of the earth, there are some real common denominators in the human condition. You know what they are? All of these. These are common denominators in the human condition, no matter where you go to, what culture you go to, what mindset, what language, what geographic location. There's a common denominator in the soul of humanity. And Jesus is like, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. I got the solution from that." He's like, "God made you. He formed you in your mother's womb. He knows you better than you know yourself. Believe me, got the solution for that." So the gospel shows us that Jesus is everyone's answer. He's my answer. He's your answer. He's everyone's answer. And I think we have to know that, because if we don't really get that part, we don't even understand how to advance this kingdom of God. Now, many don't know that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. Many don't know that Jesus is the answer. Many don't know that he has the cure for the human condition. Many don't know that he is just dying to be in a love relationship with you and I. And whose job is that? The Bible would say it's yours. The Bible would say it's your job. The Bible would say we're a priesthood of all believers. The Bible would say we are, if you're a believer in Jesus, we're ambassadors, we're sons and daughters. This is what we do. We're citizens of this kingdom. We've entered into this freedom, this grace. We're all part of this God's matrix now. And so it is our job to be what the Bible refers to as witnesses. Now think about this for a minute. If there was an accident on the corner and you were the only one who saw it, And the police get there, and there's two sides of the story. They come up to you and say, tell me what happened. You get to be the witness. You get to say how it happened. This came first, this came second, and this was the result. And the whole story is going to be contingent to what you have to say. Why? Because you're the witness. You're the witness. What if you saw a miracle? Same thing. You saw a miracle. What happened here? It's something marvelous. What happened? Well, you're not going to believe it. This person was here, and all of a sudden we came up and prayed, or they came up, and all of a sudden, everything radically changed. I saw it with my own eyes. Really? Now flip it the other way around. It's an accident on the corner. The police show up. What did you see? Did you see? You're going to tell us what? You're not going to tell it? You saw it, but you're not going to tell us what you saw? I don't like to talk about, you know, stuff. My faith is private, my stuff. I could you imagine how ridiculous that would be? And yet the apostles were so lit up for Jesus in the first century, they said, don't you dare speak about his name ever again. And they beat them and they said, guess what? We can't help but speaking about what we've seen and we heard. Nothing's going to stop us. And yet you and I sometimes can be, it's personal, it's just me and God. I'm not sharing a witness with anyone. And I believe God wants us to get over that today. He wants to show us a profound dimension. Second point this morning, and it has to do with when we are silent and that feeling we have of, oh no, well, what are they going to think? Or, you know, these are all real things that we struggle with. And you know, what if they don't respond? Or what are they going to think about me? Second point this morning is what God put in us, he expects to come out of us. What God put in you, he expects to come out of you. He did not put things in you so that you can have your own private little holy moment with God, although that's beautiful and it's powerful, so much more. You have the cure for spiritual cancer. You have the cure for a love relationship that others don't always get in on unless it's in God's realm. You have these things. You know Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. Deals with oppression, brokenhearted, all these dimensions of his peace and his love and his mercy. You know that. And because you know that, what God put in you, he expects to come out of you. Now, if we just feed on the things of God, give me more God, give me a good message. And I've done this before, so I know it. Lord, I've had a tough week. I need a good message today. Come on, pastor, bring something good, man. I need some motivation. I need some encouragement, man. I had a rough week. Bring it. Come on, come on, come on. Something good to get me through the week and then dose me up again. I just got to get filled. And that's good on a base level. That's good. But beyond that, we got to learn how to self-feed as well. So hopefully during the week, you're doing devotions. You're sitting at Jesus' feet. You're in the Word, listening to other podcasts, whatever it is, but camp out with God, worship at home before you worship publicly, worship privately. So meet with God and feed with God, and you won't really feel like you need to go from gas pump to gas pump as much. But if we just take in and we don't give out, we become very lethargic and passive in our faith. And the Bible has a great illustration. I think we have a graphic up here of the Sea of Galilee. Do we have that one? Sea of Galilee. Okay, so right here you got Sea of Galilee up north in Israel, and you got the Dead Sea down below. Sea of Galilee is thriving with life. You know, if you go fishing there, you almost can't not catch a fish, okay? We've been there before, had the St. Peter's fish. You know, they do it, I guess, the European way with the head on the fish, which is just messed up. It's not the way you serve fish, you know? But anyway, they deep fry it and they drop all these fish right on your plate with the eyes and stuff. Anyway, that I know, it's messed up. That sea is loaded with life, loaded with life. And the reason it's loaded with life is because it has fresh water flowing into it and it has water flowing out of it. You see the Sea of Galilee attached to it? Now here's what's ironic. The Dead Sea takes that same water, life-filled water. It's the same water. It's the same source. It's the same water, except for nothing is alive in the Dead Sea. Nothing. Zero. No life. How in the world can it have the same source of water in the same country, not that far apart, and have full of life in one and no life in the other? The answer is the Dead Sea only takes in and doesn't give out. And when you take in and don't give out, things just petrify over time. If the Dead Sea had a stream running out of it and flowing somewhere else, it would be a different story. It would be teeming with life, but instead it just sits there and gets stagnant and starts to fill up with the mineral content of the ground and salt content, and before you know, there's nothing alive in that thing. So that's really important. If we have spiritual input but no spiritual output, that's what happens. We get spiritually lazy and spiritually lethargic. I have a brief video clip up here that illustrates the same thing, and some of you parents may have seen this one before. All right. You guys get the point? That snapshot there is just intake and lethargic and intake and lethargic. And I know we don't mean to be that way, but I'll be honest with you, by our own human nature, that's what we do. We take in and we rest, and we take in and we rest, and we think about that. But the kingdom of God is an upside down kingdom. It's inverted. It's go ye therefore. It's share the love, spread the good news. It's give it away. It's freely you've been given, freely give it. You get it? Freely you've been given, freely give. The kingdom of God is the opposite of that. The kingdom of God is like the Sea of Galilee. There's life and life-giving everything. It's we should be a life-giving people. And the Dead Sea, on the opposite side, takes in and doesn't give away. And I'm just suggesting to you that what God put in us, he wants to come out of us. That's his heart. God's kingdom comes when his will is being done. We say, thy kingdom come, thy will be done. God's like, yes, my kingdom comes when my will is being done. When my will is being done through you guys, when you're doing my will, the kingdom comes. When you do my will, people see it and go, wow, God must be alive because he's doing something through you. And so the kingdom comes when his will is being done. And I just want to share with you Matthew 28, which we have for up here, where Jesus kind of summed it up. He already completed his mission. He came, he taught, he manifest God's presence on earth so evidently and clearly to all. He gave us this new covenant. He died on a cross and rose from the grave to prove it, to pay a price and make a way that we can never make for ourselves. And yet, he says this in closing. He wraps it up and says, I'm ready to leave and I'm handing you the baton. My mission on earth, I'm giving it to you. And I need you to jump in and grab this baton. And this is what it says in Matthew 28. You're familiar with the passage. It's called the Great Commission. It's called the Great Commission because Jesus said, I want to do this together with you. I'm not going to leave you alone. I want to do this with you. And so it says in Matthew 28, 18, then Jesus came to them and said, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age. He says, I have all spiritual authority over in the material world and the spiritual world, Jesus says, and I am sending you with my God-given authority. This is what Jesus is saying to people. So when you step out there, after service, when we go hit some of these neighborhoods, you're not going alone. You're going on a co-mission with Jesus. You get to partner with God on the co-mission. And he tells us in this mission to go make fishers of men, to go reach them, to build them up, to grow them, to make disciples, to baptize them. We're going to have baptisms here in a couple of weeks. I want to encourage you, by the way, if you have not been water baptized as an adult, it's time. Water baptism is the first step of discipleship. As a follower of Jesus, the first thing you do. So if you've believed, maybe you were sprinkled when you were a kid, but now like you're an adult and you're making your own decisions for yourself, water baptism is the next step, and that's important. But he says this. He says, go into all the world, and listen to this, start in Jerusalem. This is important. If you're going to advance the kingdom, start in Jerusalem. Let's look at context. The apostles, they're in Jerusalem. This is like ground zero. It's like Grand Central to the mission. It's where the early church built their home base for a while in Jerusalem. And in this passage here, he's like, I want you to go public, because it's time to go public. I want you to step out there and advance the kingdom. But listen, first start right where you're at. Start with home base. Start with home base. So Jerusalem is the home base. And for you this morning, your Jerusalem, your home base is at home, and it's with family members, people on the block and in your neighborhood, people in your workplace. That's your Jerusalem. And I would encourage you, if you want to advance the kingdom, God is asking you to start with Jerusalem. God's a God of order, and this is his order. Rather than trying to go around the world to a third world country, that's great, and pray for them, and if you want to support that, that's beautiful, but start with Jerusalem. Start with your Jerusalem, because at home is your Jerusalem. Your workplace, your neighborhood, that is your Jerusalem, your family. Start there, take initiative there first before you do anything else. And for us here at Metro, God put us on this corner here, and our Jerusalem is this immediate area unfolding to further areas away. So this immediate area is where we are compelled, we sense the Lord say, walk the ground, walk the blocks, and pray. Pray for God's kingdom to come on earth as it is in heaven. And while we do that, we're going to give out Gospels of John. There's been some studies. Many people say that if you hand someone a Bible, they don't know where to start. They might pick it up in Leviticus. They're going to get all confused. They might open it up Revelation. I don't understand this thing. You can give them a New Testament, and that's a great start too, but you don't know where they're going to. They might open to Hebrews and like, what are they talking about? Or the Gospel of John is written in only, there's only 700 words in the original Greek. It's written in the common language of a 10-year-old for Greek. Very common Greek, not complicated. Jesus is the way, the truth, the life. You know, he's the door to God. He's the living water. All these very simple, understandable explanations of Jesus, who he is, his power, his love, are laid out there. So we have Gospels of John with some invites for people to get connected if they want. But that is important that we walk the perimeter. That's our Jerusalem, so to speak. And so the last thing I want to say, and these are a couple of quick scriptures I want to put up here, but this is pretty cool. Isaiah 52:7 says that if you are willing to get mobilized, if you're willing to put your feet to work, if you are willing to allow what God put in you come out of you, if you're willing, God says your feet are blessed. How many of you guys remember The Wizard of Oz? You guys remember that one? Remember the click in the heels together? Hit your feet together a little bit. Let me hear it. A little louder. Okay. God says those feet, if you're willing to walk across the room, walk down a block, walk across the cubicle, and share what God put in you to come out of you, God says those feet of yours are blessed. God says you have blessed feet. It's not because you got a pedicure or not, ladies, anything like that. It has nothing to do with it. Nothing to do with it. God says your feet are blessed if you're willing to go somewhere and tell somebody. The love of God in any kind of way, your feet are blessed. Or your feet can be stinky and lethargic if you want, but they don't have to be. They don't have to be. Your feet can be blessed if they do that. We have the same passage in Luke 10. It tells us the same thing. How will they know unless somebody tells them? And it goes on to say, blessed are the feet of those who share the good news. Your feet are blessed. Old and New Testament are saying your feet are blessed if you are willing to go somewhere and let what God put in you come out of you. Third point this morning is they won't know if you don't go. They won't know. They won't know. We're just praying God do something miraculous, but I won't get involved. I won't be the witness. Or yes, I'll engage and I will be the witness. They won't know if you don't go. The last one I want to read to you, and I love this scripture, Luke chapter 10, verses 1 and 2. This is really great. And in fact, if the worship team comes up, this would be great. Here's a passage where Jesus sent out folks like you and I, sent out 70 people, 72. It's like us, sent them out. They weren't all apostles. Sent them out. I want you guys to go to these places and go before me. And it says this in Luke chapter 10. After this, Jesus appointed 72 others and sent them two by two ahead of him in every town and place where he was about to go. He sent the people to where he was about to go. He told them, the harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Ask the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to send out workers into his harvest field. Now, Jesus has been sending out people for 2,000 years the same way that he's doing right here in the passage. He's been sending people out. And it may seem a bit scary to you, or it may stretch your faith, but I would encourage you, your faith, by definition, it cannot grow unless it is stretched. Your faith will never grow unless it is stretched. Every time it is stretched, it does grow. And stretch it again, and it grows. And unless you stretch it, you can talk about all the faith in the world or believe that you would have the faith. If it came down to it, you really would do it, but that's an idea of faith. Your faith will grow if you stretch it. And all the people who went out in this story here, 72, their faith was stretched. But here's the deal. Every single one of these people, you read the other gospel narratives and you look at when the 70 returned, the 72 came back, every single one of them came back with amazing God stories. Every one of them came back and said, wow, you wouldn't believe what happened. You sent us in your authority. All kinds of stuff happened, Lord. All these God stories. These guys are like doing spiritual jumping jacks in front of Jesus, like 72 of them. You get the picture of that? This is what's going on when you go out in God's authority, and they came back and they celebrated, they experienced the miraculous, but they didn't do it by staying home. They only experienced it by going out. And if you and I really want to see God move in your family, neighborhood, your workplace, we have to do what it says in this passage right here. Jesus says, you might want to underline it in your Bible, go ahead of me every place where I'm about to go. You go first. That's what it says. You want me to go there? You want me to go to these? Okay, you go first. You go to these places, and I'm going to go to these places. And I think he's saying that because God wants our participation. We want to be passive sometimes, and I'm using the word lethargic because I think we can all get that way. I'm going to put myself in that category too. We can all get passive in our faith. Just pray, God will do it. Pray, God will do it. Yes, pray. But engage when you pray. Walk when you pray. Talk when you walk out the faith. Does that make sense, guys? We got to stretch this faith in order to grow it. There's people that need Jesus. He's everyone's answer. It's everyone's answer. He says, go ahead of me. So if you and I go ahead of him, I believe if we go ahead of him in all the places in our lives, go ahead of him in the places where you want him to be. Where do you want him to come? Why? Because you're really not going along. He says, I will be with you always to the end of the earth. You want Jesus to come to your family member? You go to your family member and you share the love of Jesus and Jesus will be right there and he'll be engaging and he'll be doing on the inside what you can only do on the outside. It's the Spirit that convicts of sin and righteousness, not us. But as we partner with God in these things, people start waking up on the inside and the blind start receiving sight and the oppressions start to go away as you and I just go public, have blessed feet, and what God put in us, we let come out of us. The harvest is plentiful. And Jesus is asking you, I see this harvest that is like, hello. It's all around you. Do you get it? And the apostles are like, huh? He's like, the harvest, guys. It's plentiful. Don't you see it? And they're like, no, not really. He's like, are you guys even seeing what I'm seeing? Because I'm seeing plentiful harvest. And he's saying, step out into the harvest. Ask the Father to send workers into the harvest. Let's engage the harvest. Guys, I believe the condition of our society is right on a tipping point of just an explosion for Jesus. Because we are in the most endowed society in the history of the planet and the most virtual, everything that we can provide through 500 channels of cable and satellite and internet and everything. And people are no better off and they know their internal condition when they're home at quiet and they're alone. They know they're no better off. And God's like, I have a solution. I'm the answer to everyone. Life that comes from the inside out. And I came to give life and to give it abundantly, and people are chasing and trying everything in a frenzy, and God's like, I got the solution. Let me in. Step under my realm. Come into my kingdom. Come under my reign and my favor and my blessing. Come to that place, and you get abundant life from the inside out. Heaven later, but abundant life even now. And this is what Jesus' plea has been. And he's been sending folks like you and I for 2,000 years with that same message. The last note this morning is, if you're a note taker, is found in Isaiah 6:8. The Lord saying, the harvest is plentiful, but who's going to go for me? Harvest is plentiful, but who is going to go for me? Who's going to have the blessed feet? Again, it's our choice whether we want stinky, lethargic feet or we want blessed feet, according to God. It's our choice. Who's going to go for me? Blessed are the feet that carry the good news. It says in Isaiah 6:8, God's saying to him, who shall I send? Who will go for us? And then Isaiah goes, I don't know about everybody else, Lord. I can't speak for them. But you know, here I am, Lord, send me. I don't know about them. I hope they jump in too. But no matter what, here am I, send me. That is the heart that God's looking for. That is the disposition of the soul that God is looking at. And I would encourage you guys, this is the fourth point this morning and final one. If that's your heart this morning, God is going to bless you. He's going to call your feet blessed. You are going to get to see, like the 72 that came back with God stories, you're going to have them. Other people won't have them. They'll hear yours. They'll appreciate yours. But you will have the God story because you took Jesus at his word to go before me in the places you want me to go. Where do you want to see me move? Start in your Jerusalem. Take those steps. Pray up and go. Pray your way through. Everything's preceded by prayer. But guys, when you take these steps, you're going to see Jesus move in your Jerusalem in a way you've never seen before. And you're going to, your faith is going to get stretched, but you're going to get excited. And you're going to have God stories. And you're going to get to be a witness on a whole other level. Instead of just hearing about the stories of what God did, you're going to get to tell the stories of what God did. How many of you guys would prefer to be in that camp, telling the God stories? How many of you guys would rather just hear the God stories? How many of you guys want to tell the God stories? Okay, it comes with blessed feet. Everyone that had blessed feet had a God story. And the people that didn't, he sat around and waited for something to happen. I just want to encourage you guys, we're not saved by works, but we are saved to good works. And this is where it starts. This is ground zero of getting mobilized and going public. And so I want to encourage you, we're going to close in prayer right now. I want to encourage you, after, not just to be motivated for today, but I want to encourage you to own your Jerusalem. Say, God, I'm looking around. I get it. I have a Jerusalem. I want to go before you. I'm going to pray my way through. Show me where to start walking these blessed feet. Show me which direction to walk them and show me what to say, God. He says, in those times, I'm going to show you what to say. And it gets really beautiful. So on that note, let's close in prayer. Mighty God, I thank you for your word and the power of it, Lord. I just pray, God, that you would begin to stir us and mobilize us, God, to be Lord, with a fire that comes from you, God. And when we look around, Lord, we see people who are, some of them are stuck. Some of them are trying so hard it's killing them. Some are lacking peace, like in a big way. Some are battling oppression in huge ways. Some are chasing after things that are so vain that even if they ever got it, they wouldn't be content because there's no contentment to be found in it. Jesus, you are the answer. You're everyone's answer. The way, the truth, the life. And so, Lord, I just pray we'd represent you well. I pray we'd walk as people with blessed feet, that we would share the gospel of the kingdom to those around us. We'd begin with our Jerusalem. And God, you would do a cool new thing. And that we would have these God stories of, you know, I went out there and God honored it. My faith got stretched, but it grew. And Lord, let us get contagious with doing your will, God. We love you, Lord, and pray for a blessing on everyone this week, Lord God. I pray for a new boldness in everyone, that no matter who we are in this room, every single person in this room would be able to walk across the block, the house next door, the cubicle, the other aisle at Trader Joe's, whatever it is, and just share your love and your power, the encouragement of the kingdom, the life of the kingdom, the peace of the kingdom, the forgiveness of the kingdom, the new beginnings of the kingdom, all those radical slices of your majestic offering, God, that we would get in on them. And I ask this in Jesus' name. And all God's people said, amen.
This has been a presentation of Valley Metro Church. We pray that this message has blessed you. To hear more messages or to support future podcasts, please visit us at valleymetrochurch.com.